Let us be in a spirit of prayer. Abba, Almighty, surprising God, we come to sing your praise. We thank you for plenty, enough to share. We thank you for lessons, laughter, and love. We thank you for friends, faith, family, and children. Help us protect and provide for everyone's children. Guide our teachers in their vital work. Give them wisdom, creativity, and great joy. Jesus, brother, shepherd, we thank you for healing and new beginnings. Help us follow your ways, forgiveness, compassion, reconciliation, and extravagant welcome. May we be transformed from believers to followers. Spirit, wind of presence, carry us when we tremble. Lift us when we fall. Inspire us where we hesitate. May the world feel your justice, your peace. May the world see your love in our eyes. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. Anybody else getting ready to go to school? Getting ready to go to school? No? You're just going to be a conscientious objector, right, Lauren? You're going to say, no, don't think I'm going this year. Is that your plan? No. Okay. Okay.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, I think that some of us are probably getting some school supplies ready. Anybody else getting your school supplies ready? Got your backpack?
Great.
You already started school. Are you in Mohawk? Are you?
Okay.
You have a good teacher? Good teachers? Mm-hmm. Who was funny this week? Was there a teacher that was funny? Anybody make you laugh? Not yet.
Mrs. Nidicole, she's a music teacher.
The music teacher made you laugh. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? Right? Having a fun teacher? Yeah. Anybody putting their name on their school supplies? Yeah. Yeah. Some of us are putting their names on the school supplies. Why do we do that? Yeah, Alex?
So that we know it's yours.
So that you know it's yours. Yes. Yeah, I know this calculator is mine. I know these scissors are mine. I know this pencil is mine and the folder is mine, right? Does anybody have family who, when you go out, they say, remember whose you are? Or make this family proud. Anybody heard of any of those kind of things? Yeah?
Just one.
You've heard one of those?
No.
No?
I started school now.
You started school now? Are you having fun too? Did you take crayons and things in? Did you? No? You just go and they already have them there, huh? What?
I've made a puzzle for you.
You made a puzzle for me?
No, a paper one.
A paper puzzle? Well, that's exciting. Are you going to give it to me after church?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. Okay. Sometimes when we head out the door, sometimes when we get in trouble, our families say, don't you know that you're supposed to make our family proud? They want everybody in town to know that all those Bup kids are really nice. All those Stibe kids are really good kids. And so they want you to remember that you're a Kozlowski. That everybody in town says, oh, those Kozlowski girls, those are really good kids. We really like those. So Jesus wants you to remember that you belong to him too. And if people see you being kind to people, that makes it nicer for everybody. When you're kind to that kid that's kind of lonesome, then the other kids may decide to be kind to her or to him too. When you ask that new kid to join you on the playground, then you make a good impression on everybody else, and you spread God's love, you spread the love of Jesus all around the school. And that's a really good impression. So in a way, you kind of have, even though you can't see it, you kind of have Jesus' name on you. And you're one of Jesus's best possessions. And he can be proud of all the work that you're doing. So when you're nice to the other kids and you help the kid that falls down or you help the kid that's scared, then you are helping to spread God's love everywhere. Anybody have anything else they want to share about school supplies or teachers or anything? No? Okay. All right. We're going to make a circle and we're going to say a prayer. And then I have some fun things for you, and I've added some new tattoos. There are sports tattoos and butterfly tattoos in there now. And you're not going downstairs today. You're going to stay in church. And so we have a little snack right here. There's pretzels and things. So you can take one of the things out of there and one of the things out of the snack basket after we say our prayer. All right? Thank you for coming up. Jesus, we know that we belong to you. Help us remember Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday that we all belong to you, and help us share your love all over the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have fun things over here, and we have goodies in that basket. The Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans 12, verses 1 to 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. Here ends the reading from Romans 12. My message this morning is called Transformed. Paul calls for a living sacrifice. There is discussion among Bible scholars about the time God temporarily asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. The scholars ask, how old was Isaac? He had to be old enough to help carry the wood up the mountain. He had to be old enough to understand about sacrifices. He had to be mature enough to look around and think and recognize that the sacrificial animal was missing. Therefore, scholars guess that Isaac was at least 8 years old, but no older than 12. They said if he had been older than 12, it might not have been such a sacrifice. You're allowed to chuckle at that point. About 20 years after Jesus was killed, the Apostle Paul was near the city of Corinth, planning his final voyage to Jerusalem. He planned to later travel to Rome and to Spain. Scholars believe that Paul's letter to the church at Rome was written there, in or near Corinth, Greece. It was a big undertaking, explaining, teaching, and encouraging a bold new understanding of his lifetime Jewish faith for a group he had never met. Why did Paul write Romans? We can only guess what he had heard, what needs he knew. Earlier, Emperor Claudius had expelled all the Jews from Rome, including Jewish Christians, such as Prisca and Aquila, whom Paul mentions in chapter 16. Certainly, they lost property and faced danger in their time of exile. When Paul wrote this letter, he may have had in mind the anti-Jewish slaughter in Alexandria, Egypt, and more recent riots near Naples, Italy, that turned deadly for the Jews. When Emperor Nero reversed the empire's decision and allowed Jews to return to Rome, animosity may have lingered between Jews and Gentiles in the young churches. Paul wants everyone to be accepting and humble. Other of Paul's epistles, letters, contain specific answers and advice to churches he had founded, such as the groups at Corinth and Galatia. However, this letter to a church he had not yet visited was his most developed, most complete statement of beliefs. Romans is a letter about God's justice and righteousness to the mostly Gentile, non-Jewish believers gathered in Rome, the center of the empire. Some call this last letter of Paul's his last will and testament. He did not know it would be his last surviving letter. He kept preaching, teaching, scolding, and encouraging to make us all faithful people, serving God's ethics, God's justice for all. Let us unpack some of this passage from Romans 12. Sacrifice. Dictionary tells us animals, plants, or human lives offered to a deity. The surrender of something prized. We are aware of sacrifices, parents giving up a night's sleep or a day's pay to care for a sick child. An Olympic athlete sacrificing career for practice time. A business owner doing without to pay her employees. A police officer or firefighter risking life and limb to protect public safety. A pastor being arrested in a stand for peace or justice. A soldier giving his life for his comrades and his country. Those are sacrifices, great and small. Families may have sacrificed this week to buy all those school supplies. We were helping assemble the backpacks filled with pencils and paper and odd requests like paper plates and spoons. And we were working on those backpacks that were to be handed out at the YMCA yesterday. When I was a single student mom of three, I was in a bind over the name brand requests on a poverty line budget. Really? They have to be Crayola crayons and Hefty brand storage bags? we each must choose our sacrifices. Do we ever think of sacrifices around our faith? Or do we read the brochure and decide to check the yes box, our head agrees, our heart likes these folks, sign me up for the newsletter, or it was good enough for mom? Sacrifices around our faith? Seriously? Ancient Jews were accustomed to giving sacrifices, grain, animals, or other produce. That system was partly practical. The priests were not farming and herding, but were set aside to teach and lead worship. So their families were fed by the sacrifices. However, some sacrifices were entirely burned up, and the amount of sacrifice was based on the giver, not the needs of the priests. Rich families gave a bull, poor families gave a pigeon. Walk the floor over and over with a sick, miserable child, and you will slay dragons for him or her. All the platoon runs the obstacle course. Sacrifice sears our dedication on our hearts. Shared sacrifice binds troops, safety forces, and churches. Serious sacrifice changes our hearts. Every time a soldier is deployed, his family is aware of his risk, their sacrifice. One of my professors had grown up in the segregated South, the son of a poor black mother. Some of the sacrifices imposed by segregation were minor. He had to use the bathroom before they headed downtown because no business would allow a colored family in their restrooms. Rarely, Dr. Smith would talk about the panic and terror among the mothers in his area of town when the police would come to pick up one of their sons, because often that boy never came home. It was not their imagination or an exaggeration. When the three Yankee college students disappeared in the struggle for voting rights, a great search was made. Ponds were dragged, woods were walked, looking for their bodies. Several hundred corpses were found. It seems some people were deemed an acceptable sacrifice for keeping the peace. What do we think of those who sacrifice others? The Apostle Paul, however, was writing about self-sacrifice. He describes becoming a living sacrifice, not a one-time, all-out risk of life sacrifice. The word repent has gathered heavy baggage over the years, especially when others decide what that means you must do. However, a study of the original Hebrew and Greek leads many to believe that to repent means to change one's mind. Paul writes, "By the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect?" Be a living sacrifice. Be holy and acceptable to God. Be transformed. Be radically changed by learning what God wants. Learning what God wants and living that change. Living good, acceptable, and perfect lives. Can we be perfect like God? No, but we can live toward that goal. Our work, our study, our changed minds, our changed habits are our living sacrifice, good, acceptable, and perfect. Is that a surprise? You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. Make sure everyone around you knows that. You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. Turn to the person beside you and say, "You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect." You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. Make sure every person hears that. You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. You may have to move around a little bit.
You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect.
You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. Did you get told?
No.
You were made to be good, acceptable, and perfect.
So are you.
Thank you. Anita, did someone come over and tell you? Okay, good, 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 good. Sacrifices, gifts. That reminds us that not all can learn as much, not all can change as much, not all can write checks as big. Are some people more important? The very next line keeps us humble. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members," think body parts, "and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another." Sacrifices, if you remember back to the temple, have to do with the blessings of the giver. To whom much is given, much is expected. We give our time, our talents, our treasures, not because God needs it. Everything belongs to God anyway. Not because God needs it, but because sacrifice changes the heart of the giver. In a church, we are members of the body of Christ. We're not consumers lining up to gobble this week's flavor. We offer our time, our reverence, our worship to God Almighty. That dedication lived out. Brian mowing, Jake shoveling, Janet making cookies changes our hearts and our minds. Giving up our time to move chairs for a funeral. Giving up our pride marching in the lawn chair drill team. Giving up our treasure, whether our gifts are $1 or hundreds of thousands, requires thought, study, sacrifice. And Paul assures us that giving will transform us. You will be transformed. Our congregation will be transformed. The world will be transformed because we took the time, went to the trouble of taking our Maker seriously. And the good news springs from this word. You are made to be good, acceptable, and perfect. Yes, little old you with your forgetful mind, your creaky back, and the tongue that gets away sometimes. We each have gifts. Great gifts given by our Creator. These gifts are for the good of all. Did God make you strong or able to fix things? Perhaps you can help children with a song, a baking or craft project. Perhaps you remember to send greeting cards, birthday, anniversary, or thinking of you cards. Maybe you console the grieving. You might be a patient listener. Maybe you encourage. Paul calls it exhorting. It is a special gift, worthy of his separate mention. Bill Bliley helps us learn new music and remember to worship joyfully. What gifts have you been hiding? In another passage, Paul describes how we need each other as different parts of the body need each other. The mind is not more valuable than the heart. The hand is not more valuable than the foot. Like a giant jigsaw puzzle, we are not complete until every speck of grass is in place. We need that spot of blue sky 2 inches from the edge as much as we need Shrek's eye. We need each other, sharing all our gifts to welcome strangers, sing God's praises, learn together, hold each other up when we cry, and celebrate our joys, great and small. God counts on us working together to feed sheep, visit the lonesome, bring fresh water to the thirsty, demand justice for the oppressed, and show God's love and peace to all the world. Good golly, we can't do all that. Sure we can. Paul said, we were made to be living sacrifices, good, holy, and acceptable to God. How? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Just as we are, sometimes smelly, sometimes rude, sometimes wonderful, we are loved by God. We can dedicate our learning, our time, our talents, our treasures to God's plan, God's delight. And the best news is that our hearts will be changed, our lives will be transformed, and the world will be forever blessed. Amen.